And this is actually one common reason of so many people's bloating. And it's the first thing that I say to my clients. And simply by just cutting those out or swapping them for other products, they've got a massive alleviation in bloating. So I would be remiss to not mention them. Welcome to Everything in Between, the health and wellness podcast that believes that health is so much more than just what we eat and how we move our bodies. It's everything in between. I'm Raquel Rebello, a clinical nutritionist, the face behind Radical, and your host. Good morning, Monday. A new week is here, and I, of course, have a new episode for you. You asked, and I, of course, listened, because when I took the break between season 2 and 3, I asked you, what do you want to hear more of? What would you change to the podcast? You know, like, what is your feedback? Let's chit-chat. And by far, the most overwhelming piece of feedback I received was to just add just a sprinkle of a little bit more nutrition-focused content. And so here we are, because I thought we'd start off with the most common complaint that I see in clinic with clients all the time. And that is, of course, bloating. So I thought that we could cover what is actually bloating. Is it normal? When is it normal? And of course, the most common reasons as to why you might be experiencing more bloating on a plant-based diet. And then what I want to do is an entire separate episode, just so that it's not too much information in one go, not too overwhelming. And we'll do that in an episode or two's time, in relation to what you can specifically do to mitigate and reduce bloating on a plant-based diet, because I could talk about that for hours. So perhaps you have, you know, recently just started experimenting with adding more plant-based foods / recipes into your diet. Maybe you are a seasoned vegan, meaning you have eaten a vegan diet / followed a vegan lifestyle for a while now. Regardless, I'm sure you are aware that with this change, you are likely to be a little bit more bloated a lot more frequently. And so you're not alone if this sounds familiar to you, because both new and people who have followed a plant-based diet for a long time will tell you that this is just part of the package. I know that when I first went vegan, what was that, like 8 or 9 years ago already now, I genuinely was so bloated that my abdomen would genuinely swell. It wasn't even a bloating. It was a full-blown swell. It would hurt. Whereas now, because I know the evidence-based tricks and tools, and I know what to do to not only alleviate bloating, but for the most part as well, I just don't experience it as much as I used to, because like I said, I know what to do now. So I thought we'd start there in terms of our nutrition-focused content for the podcast. Because like I said, I see so many clients in clinic for this. It is something that I am asked about on Instagram, in DMs all the time. It's something that all of us experience, whether it's a daily basis, a weekly basis, but particularly on a plant-based diet, it is a lot more common. So I thought we would start there. So let's start with how we define bloating. What is it? It's a word that is thrown around so often that I feel like it's lost its true meaning. And so the most accurate way to define bloating is an uncomfortable sensation or that increased pressure in your abdomen. And this, of course, may or may not be accompanied by a visual protrusion of the actual abdomen. Sometimes people will joke that it's a food baby or looking pregnant, that sort of thing. So that's usually the physical, visual of it. However, bloating is actually usually interchanged with something known as distension. And although they aren't the same thing, these two names are actually occasionally used interchangeably. And so there is actually a distinction. So to put it simply, the sensation of increased pressure in your tummy is known as bloating, whereas the physical swelling of the abdomen is distension. And our bloating can either be two things, right? It can be continuous or it can be induced. Continuous means that it is the type of, increased pressure in the abdomen that lasts the entire day. So perhaps you even wake up with it and it's unaffected by food or exercise or stress. It's just always there. Whereas the second type of bloating, which is far more common and less likely to need concern over, is of course a bloating that is induced post-meal or, post-intense exercise, that sort of thing. But before we go on to anything else in the episode, I'm just going to quickly pause and say, if you are someone who is experiencing persistent bloating and you believe it's not necessarily influenced by any dietary or lifestyle changes or influences, it is really important to go to your doctor and to rule out any potential serious underlying causes of this. Because there definitely can be. However, of course, there are some helpful tips and tricks and tools that you can try to help return back to your normal or your equilibrium. But this is really only going to be of use to you if your bloating is sporadic or if it is something that you've noticed as a result of eating more plant-based foods and that sort of thing. So I definitely wanted to preface that before we go into the episode, because like I said, if your bloating is something that you deem as abnormal and not, sporadic or brought on by dietary and lifestyle changes, then you definitely need to go see your doctor and just do a little bit more investigating first. Now, it is important to note that, of course, mild bloating and distension are actually typical, normal, healthy symptoms of digestion, specifically after a large meal, of course, because that food needs to sit somewhere whilst it digests. So it is crucial to actually understand the difference between, quote, normal bloating for you and bloating that is a little bit more serious or sinister. And like I said, if you believe that your bloating is chronic, where there's, no alleviation, it's painful and it's unusual for you, please see your doctor, particularly if the bloating is starting to cause you pain or discomfort or to the point that it is affecting your capacity to carry out daily activities or even just your quality of life on a whole. So it is important to remember that mild bloating, particularly after a big meal or even just a day of food, is in fact very normal. But simultaneously, if it is past the point of what you deem as normal, it's causing you pain, causing you discomfort, please see your doctor. But I'm going to just backtrack a little bit and just hone in specifically on bloating on a plant-based diet. Why is it more common? And more importantly, how are we going to reduce, let alone mitigate, the discomfort associated? So the first and biggest reason as to why a plant-based diet is associated with more bloating is because, of course, a plant-based diet is high in fiber. And this is due to the fact that most of the foundational foods on a plant-based diet, such as, fruits, veggies, beans, legumes, nuts, seeds, whole grains, are, of course, all abundant in fiber. And in contrast to the rest of the food we eat, fiber is actually a form of carbohydrate that our digestive system actually doesn't digest and absorb. So what happens is it enters our large intestine undigested, and then there it is fermented by the bacteria in our gut. And naturally, of course, a lot of gas is created during this process, which can result in those feelings of increased pressure or even just fullness in the tummy. And this is actually beneficial because it shows that our digestive system is functioning and that we are nourishing our healthy gut flora. And I want you to remember that despite this, I'm not going to call it a side effect, but despite this increased pressure and fullness in the tummy, fiber is incredibly healthy, okay? And there are countless clinical studies that show that eating a high fiber diet is associated with improved gut health by, of course, encouraging a more varied and abundant gut microbiota, which of course is linked to a plant-based diet, which is abundant in a diverse range of plant-based whole foods. But I'm going to remind you, when is it too much fiber? Because like everything, too much of anything is not good for you. So while fiber, of course, has many health benefits and advantages, ingesting too much of it or having more than your gut is accustomed to is going to come with some unpleasant side effects, such as bloating and gas. And fortunately, the bloating that's brought on by that increased fiber intake usually goes away as your gut starts to adjust to processing that increased fiber load. But I'm going to tell you right now, it does take time. And for some clients that I see, this can take a few weeks. For others, it's a few months. It really does depend on your previous dietary pattern, plus, of course, the state of your gut microbiome and where we're starting. Okay, moving on. The second reason why bloating is more common on a plant-based diet is due to something which you've probably heard of, but something called, or known as, I should say, FODMAPs. Now, FODMAPs are another class of carbohydrate that our bodies do not properly digest, and instead it ferments in our intestines. And despite the fact that this is, of course, a very natural process, some people are just more sensitive than others, and the increased gas production can lead to that substantial distension and bloating to the point where it is uncomfortable and or painful. Now, diets primarily based on plants are typically higher in FODMAPs, and this is due to the abundance of the different grains and fruits and vegetables, nuts, seeds, legumes, etc. that are found on a plant-based style diet, many of which are thought to contain, of course, a significant amount of FODMAPs. Now, often a FODMAP elimination and reintroduction diet is advised to help a client or an individual figure out which foods are causing their symptoms and in what quantities they can tolerate them. And, you know, it comes about treating the bloating brought on by a FODMAP intolerance. And in this diet, the FODMAP, low FODMAP diet, there are three phases. So we've got the removal, the reintroduction, which is usually the testing part, and then of course personalization. However, it is actually critical to note that the low FODMAP diet is intended to be followed under strict guidelines and supervision of a dietitian or a clinical nutritionist that's actually specialized and trained in the FODMAP dietary protocol, because it does include certain dangers simply because it just restricts that amount of food. And so if you've ever tried a low FODMAP diet just out on a whim on your own, or your doctor's just given you a pamphlet and said, yep, go on the low FODMAP diet, I really do encourage you to either see a dietitian or, like I said, a clinical nutritionist that is trained in the low FODMAP dietary protocol, because it can actually cause, in a lot of cases, more harm than good. And it's really not fun. So you really don't want to do it more than once if you are going to do it. So it needs to be executed properly. And of course, that involves doing it under the strict supervision and guidance and support of someone who is qualified. The third reason why bloating is far more common on a plant-based diet is due to the consumption of the incredibly healthy and, in my opinion, a true superfood, which are legumes. Now, on a plant-based diet, legumes, including beans and lentils, split peas, etc., are undoubtedly some of the most well-known foods for causing gas and bloating. And one of the primary causes of this is because, like we said before, beans contain an indigestible carbohydrate, which are fermented in our intestines. And this is what brings upon the bloating, especially when we ingest a large amount in big quantities. And just to remind you, beans are incredibly healthy. We definitely want to be including them in our diet. But in this episode, like I said, I'm just going to list the common reasons. And then in the next episode or the following episode, we will specifically cover how to mitigate that pain, bloating, and discomfort associated with these reasons. So in this episode, I'm just listing them, but I want you to remember that this is not a means of cutting these foods out or deeming them as unhealthy. They are incredibly healthy. It's just that there is more nuances attached to them in regards to, for example, food preparation, quantity, etc. So we will go through that in episode 25, like I said. But in this episode, we're just simply listing them so that you can sit back, listen, and go, oh yeah, that sounds like maybe that's why it's causing my bloating. I do consume a lot of beans or, you know, whatever it may be. The fourth reason why bloating is more common on a plant-based diet, and this is likely to be something that you haven't yet considered, and that is the large volume of food that is consumed. And this is because plant-based foods or plant-based meals in general are often less calories per volume than animal-based counterparts, meaning you often need to eat more food, especially if you have a higher calorie requirement. So this could mean that after you switch to a more plant-based style of diet, the size of your meals naturally increase. Okay. So to illustrate this more clearly for you, right, if you were to compare the energy density, meaning the amount of calories in, let's say, a salad versus a piece of steak, naturally the salad is far less calorie and energy dense than the steak, meaning you need to eat obviously a larger volume of salad in order to be full and satisfied. And this is great from a weight maintenance perspective, but in regards to the actual volume that you consume, it does mean that you eat more to reach your requirements. And because of this, you're more likely to experience two types of bloating following a meal. And this is, of course, because first of all, there's a larger portion of food that is higher in fiber. But second to that, our food does need to sit somewhere after we have consumed it until it is processed, which of course comes with that bloated feeling of satiety or physical distension. Now, moving on, other reasons why you may be bloated, and this is actually regardless of whether you're following a vegan or a plant-based style of diet, is stress. Now, I would be remiss to not mention the integral role that stress plays in our gastrointestinal system, as stress awakens our nervous system, which in turn is going to affect the digestive process. And this usually results in symptoms, including either cramps or pain, irregular bowel movements, and of course, bloating. And this is a result of a well-established gut-brain connection. And in simple terms, this is just a two-way communication pathway between our brain and our gut. And one of these communication pathways is something known as the enteric neural system, or often referred to as ENS. And that's a portion of our neural system that actually affects and aids in digestion regulation. And the ENS's capacity to efficiently regulate and control digestion is going to be severely impacted by stress exposure. So consistent digestive problems like cramping or bloating can actually make stress and anxiety worse. But on the flip side, stress and anxiety can make digestive issues like bloating exacerbated. So it's that vicious cycle due to that gut-brain connection. And so, of course, reducing social or psychological stress is undoubtedly an important facet here to alleviate any digestive issues, let alone bloating. Moving on, and you are not going to like this one, but your favorite carbonated drinks or sugar-free products such as sugar-free soft drinks, syrups, protein bars, you name it, it is likely that it contains an ingredient or something known as sugar alcohols. And sugar alcohols have a very well-known reputation for causing bloating. And this is because it includes either or all xylitol, sorbitol, and mannitol. And technically speaking, these ingredients are also rich in FODMAPs. So they're frequently included in more lower carb, low sugar products as a means to sweeten them without actually including extra sugar or carbohydrates, or let alone calories. So one really good example of this is the mannitol found in low carb protein bars or sugar-free soft drinks, maple syrups, etc. And while some people are more prone to those symptoms of excruciating bloating and pain, the symptoms are generally very typical for most people. And so it's also worth noting that carbonated drinks, even if they don't contain sugar alcohols per se, can contribute to the buildup of gas in our body and therefore increase bloating. And this is actually one common reason of so many people's bloating. And it's the first thing that I say to my clients is they'll go through their 7-day food diary and I will see the sugar-free maple syrup on their oats. I'll see the low-carb, low-sugar protein bars. I'll see the sugar-free cordial, whatever it may be. And simply by just cutting those out or swapping them for other products, they've got a massive alleviation in bloating. So I would be remiss to not mention them. And last but definitely not least, as I prefaced in the beginning of the episode, there are a lot of medical circumstances and situations that are also worth ruling out with your doctor as potential causes for your bloating. And this might include allergies, diverticulitis, IBS or irritable bowel syndrome, inflammatory bowel disease. So that might include Crohn's, and of course, more serious diseases such as ovarian cancer, colon cancer, pancreatic cancer, etc. So, like I said, if you deem your bloating as not normal for you and chronic and causing you pain, discomfort, and affecting your quality of life, definitely speak to your doctor. But if you are like the average person where your bloating is induced by dietary and lifestyle factors, and you do see alleviation with certain tools and tricks and tips, then this episode was for you. Like I said, in episode 25, we will specifically cover how to reduce and mitigate bloating from these main contributors that we discussed today. So whether that's fiber, stress, beans, volume eating. And so on top of that, we will then cover my top clinical recommendations, as well as, of course, just personal anecdotes of what I found to be the most helpful for, of course, both myself and my clients. So there we have it. If you found this episode helpful, please send me a message. Please let me know if you like these individualized nutrition topics discussed on the podcast. If you have any topic requests, please let me know. Let's talk about it in the DMs. I want to know what you took away from today's episode or what you found helpful. If you liked it as well, if you could please send it to a friend who would find it of value and enjoy it. This is how we grow the podcast. Like I said, I don't do any formal marketing or advertising. It really is just word of mouth. And so I would sincerely appreciate you sharing it with a friend or leaving me a review, whatever it may be. For content on every other day of the week, you can find me on both TikTok and Instagram at Radikel. But for now, don't forget to embrace everything in between, and I'll be back in your ears next Monday.